Thank you, Roy, for those prayers. And thank you, Ruben. Where's he gone? To Keith's Church for the Bible reading. Friends, today, as we've heard, is Thanksgiving Sunday. So the question for you, I guess, is what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Yep, you're thinking about it. What are you thankful for? In a moment's time, you'll get to write a little message on a leaf and put it on that tree, or you can do a QR code, and you can also write an electronic message if you so wish. But please don't do that during the service, because I want you to concentrate on what we are doing here. Now, stopping and being thankful can often be difficult. And why is that? Because we're told by people, we're told by society, we're told by the media, only negative things. Now, if you think about it, usually the first story on the news isn't a happy one. Sometimes it is, I admit, but usually it's not a happy one. Usually it's about death. Usually it's about someone being convicted of a crime. Usually it's about how politicians have disappointed us. It's hard to find positive stories, so it's also hard to be thankful. See, as Christians, well, we're told by a secular society that Christianity is actually going backwards. And who would believe in that Jesus stuff? But actually, when we look around the world, that's far from the truth. Even in Anglican circles, the worldwide Anglican communion has doubled in size over the last 50 years. And there are now more than 90 million Anglicans worldwide. In recent decades, most parts of the world have grown, some rapidly, some more modestly. But it seems in the West, where there's increasing secularization, there has been a slight decline in numbers in Anglican churches. But in places like Singapore, the average weekly attendance has gone from 4,000 people in the 80s to 20,000 in 2012. The real growth has happened in the global south, countries in Latin America, Africa, Asia, and Oceania. In the 1960s, the Anglican Church's leadership was dominated by Englishmen. But this has changed and changed forever. And that photo on the screen is actually a recent conference of Anglican leaders. And you can see lots of people that aren't Englishmen in that little photo there. Now, some of the growth has also been unexpected. Indonesia, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, Nepal. A generation ago, the number of Anglican churches in these nations could have been counted on one hand. And prospects for growth, well, they looked small and in some cases non-existent. But now there are dozens of new churches in these countries, with thousands of people being baptized or confirmed. Friends, God grows his church through his son Jesus, and we can be thankful for this. But as we come to Psalm 103, it's not a church growth strategy we see, but we read this psalm of praise and thankfulness to our Lord. And what does it say? Well, it says we praise him for his benefits that we receive. And we praise him for his faithful love and grace towards us. Friends, this psalm is a hymn. And in its original context, it would have been sung in the temple as part of a thanksgiving service, where God's people would bring offerings expressing thankfulness for what God has done for them. And while this is a communal song sung together, the words of the psalm are meant to lead to a personal reflection on how wonderful God is towards his people. And in our context today, that's what we're doing. We're giving thanks to God for what he has done, is doing, and will do in our church and also in our lives. And last Saturday's turning of the sod ceremony was one of those moments where we had the opportunity to give thanks. I certainly gave thanks in my address. And the turning of the sod wasn't so much about building a physical building, but it was about celebrating what God is already building. His church here in Marsden Park. And what I mean by the church is actually his people coming together and worshipping him. And I am so thankful to God for the people that he has brought and is bringing to our church. I'm thankful that we're in a multicultural and multi-generational part of Sydney, and our church reflects this. And I guess like you, my prayer is that over time, our church reflect more and more of our area. And maybe the building will attract more people who typically prefer to do religion in buildings rather than a school hall. Friends, we can look forward to this in prayerful expectation that God will continue to build his kingdom. But looking at Psalm 103 and the first few verses, we actually see reasons why we can praise God. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, friends, we praise God with everything. With all that we are, we praise him. And what's the first reason given here? Well, it's because of who he is. He is holy. He's set apart. He's one of a kind. He's a perfect creator. And we've learned about that as we've looked at Genesis, haven't we? And in verse 2, it indicates not just who he is. God isn't some passive person up high looking over us. No, he didn't simply just flick the creation switch and watch it all happen and then move on to something else in his agenda. No, God is amazingly generous to us. He gives us benefits. Benefits which we should never forget. And the passage tells us the first benefit is forgiveness. Friends, where would we be without the Lord's forgiveness? We'd be in a lot of strife. We'd be in a lot of strife. Are you thankful for the forgiveness that you have received for your sins? And maybe to understand this forgiveness, we need to put sin in perspective. See, friends, we've heard this in Genesis, haven't we? Humans have a problem with sin. And we can't avoid this. We have a problem with sin. And sin has massive consequences. It's broken our world, and it's also broken us. We're sinful by nature. But amazingly, God forgives. His nature is to offer people forgiveness. Yeah, understand that? Our nature is to be sinful. His nature is to offer forgiveness. That is something amazing and something to be really thankful for. This psalm is a psalm of David. and King David, who was Israel's best human king of all time. He sinned and disobeyed God and allowed his desires to take hold. Take the example of his treatment of Bathsheba and organizing the death of her husband Uriah on the battlefield. David needed the Lord's forgiveness like we do. And for David, that didn't mean he didn't suffer consequences for his actions. But his relationship with God remained in place because of God's forgiveness. And friends, as you probably know, we now receive forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross. And if we turn to him in repentance and faith, we're forgiven and have a relationship now with the God of the universe and a relationship forever. Now, I was told this week by a friend that believers no longer have a problem with sin, but still have problems with sins. Seems a bit like scratch your head. It took me a while to quite understand what this guy was saying. But because of our sinful nature, we do struggle with sins. But because of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross and the forgiveness that that brings, the consequences of our sin, well, that has been dealt with. And we share in this wonderful relationship with the God of the universe now and forever. See, friends, we can praise God and thank him because he forgives our sins. He also heals, as verse 3 tells us. But he heals in a different way to how he deals with sin, because the timing is completely up to him. Yes, he can heal us now, but he often delays his healing on earth until we all receive total healing that we have when we see Jesus face to face at his second coming. And King David, well, he knew all about this difference between forgiveness and healing. Through the illness of a child born from his adultery with Bathsheba, he was told that the Lord has taken away your sin. He's forgiven. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, and the son born to you will die. Forgiveness, yes. Healing, no. The third benefit we find in verse 4, and that's redemption. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Now, rescue seems to be part and parcel of God's saving plan for his people. We'll read in Genesis that Noah and his family were rescued. Abraham was rescued. God's people are rescued from Egypt. God's people are rescued from Babylon. God's people are rescued from sin by Jesus' death on the cross. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And because of God's amazing love and grace, he also restores his people. We are satisfied and renewed And verse 5, well, that gives us a picture of a beautiful eagle. Think maybe of a wedge-tailed eagle, that big and beautiful bird that actually has been spotted around this area. Think of this beautiful bird, and it's putting on brand new feathers. Maybe it's getting ready for winter or something like that. And this beautiful bird, well, it's about to then take flight again, looking more beautiful than what it was before. It's been renewed. Colossians chapter 3 says this: do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. God renews us. And this is a benefit, friends. Friends, by God's grace and love and his action, we're forgiven, we're healed, we're redeemed, and we're renewed. All wonderful things that God continues to do for us now through his Son Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives in those who trust in his Son. But last, Psalm 103 tells us that we can be thankful to God because he is a promise keeper. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. His promises are real. And for the people who were originally singing this psalm at the Thanksgiving service, well, their minds would have gone and reflected back on God speaking to Moses in Exodus 34, where he says something more lengthy than what's summarized here in verse 8. God's promises of compassion, graciousness, faithful love, and truth, we can be thankful. As high as the heavens are above the earth, how great is the love that keeps on removing our sins. As far as east is from the west, how effective has God showed his love to us and removed our sins. Friends, we can thank God today because he has done everything for us. It's not by our own feeble efforts that we achieve these things. No, it's by God. And sure, we're willing participants, but it's certainly not by our own strength. So we don't have to be in the right mood or have everything together. You can thank God because he is faithful to his promises. And he will save you. Now, in some ways, we need to be honest with ourselves. Because many people in our church haven't had the best 12 months of their lives. There's been sickness. There's been chronic illness. There's been pain. There's been suffering. There's been deaths of people who we dearly love. Friends, if thankfulness is based on our own effort, we'd give up and we would be the grumpiest lot of people in Marsden Park. But praise be to God that it's not by our efforts. It's by his efforts. And he continues to do amazing things in our church and in the lives of the people who come here. He's got people through really, really tough times. He's put a loving church family around them to help them. Friends, God is wonderfully faithful to his people. And we need to give thanks to him today and always. And friends, I just want to give you a few examples of the things that I'm thankful for and that I've been reflecting on during the week. See, God has brought lots of wonderful new people to our church over the last 12 months. And it's so wonderful to meet them and to get to know them and to see them get involved, growing in their relationship with him and others in the church and desiring to serve him. It's so wonderful. Friends, our attendance at our services, well, they've generally gone up this year. In total, like there's about 25 to 40 more people here on Sundays than there was the same time last year. God is bringing people to our church, and it's wonderful to get to know them. The other thing that I've been reflecting on is that God has brought some wonderful staff to our church as well. And you know what? It's really good that none of them are in this room so I could talk about them, okay? It's fantastic. That wasn't planned. It just happened like that, right? Thank you, God. And guys, you probably don't even know how much they do for you and your family and for Jesus. I'm so impressed by them and are thankful to God for them. Friends, don't be mistaken. When you give generously, yes, you give to invest in gospel ministry here in Marsden Park, around our nation and around the world, but the biggest expense to our church is our staff. They're the biggest expense. And did you know that I am the only full-time staff member at this church? I'm the only one. Both Adam and Bonnie Ann are part-time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our thankfulness for these two wonderful staff members converted into increased giving so that we can go from one full-time staff to three full-time staff soon? Friends, Adam and Cinzia, Bonnie Ann and Josh, and Christine do a wonderful, wonderful work of the Lord in this church. And we should be thankful for them. Friends, I'm also thankful that we're reaching our community with lots of ministries to men, women, children, and youth. It's been fantastic that we've started a youth group. It's fantastic to see well over 100 children in SRE across two schools. And I think, honestly, in a couple of years' time, we'll get 200 kids in SRE as more schools are built in this area. It's wonderful to see our playtime ministry like quadruple in a year, starting from about 20 people to regularly getting around 80 people and sometimes even 100. That's something to praise God about. But friends, this isn't where it stops. Because people need the opportunity to hear about Jesus and Christianity and have their questions answered. See, it's so wonderful to connect with many people as we're doing, but without the opportunity to invite people to hear about Jesus, then we only have part of the picture. So can I ask you to do something today out of your thankfulness? See, friends, we need to run the Alpha course, and we need to do it early third term. Alpha is that opportunity over a few weeks for people who don't know Jesus to come and ask their questions. And we want to run this in the Marsden Park Neighbourhood Centre. So please pray for an opening there. This would be a game changer for our playtime team Imagine the easy invite that you could say, we're going to have Alpha that just explains a little bit about Christianity, and it's going to be on this night in this location. That would be such an easy invite. But see, Alpha is just another thing on our church schedule unless you invite people along. Invite your friends, maybe your spouse, maybe other family members, people who you know that need to hear the good news about Jesus. Please pray about who you can invite to Alpha and invite them along. Friends, we have so much to be thankful for. So let us praise the Lord and give thanks to Him during our next song and after our song in a really concrete way as we fill this tree with our notes of thankfulness and as we think about which projects that we want to support in our church as well. Let me pray as the band comes up. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for what you have done. And firstly, we just thank you for the benefits that you give to us. And we know we don't deserve it, but you lavish these benefits on us. And we've just only touched on a few that are in a Psalm 103. But Lord, we just know that you love us so much. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness that comes through him. Father, we thank you that we're healed. We thank you that we're renewed. We thank you that we're restored. We thank you that we're rescued. And Lord, we just really thank you so much for what you are doing in our church. We thank you for our staff members. We thank you for those groups that are reaching out into our community. We thank you for new people. And Lord, we just look forward in prayerful expectation as we want to run Alpha so we can just communicate the life-saving message of Jesus to people. Father, help us to have such a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to you. In your wonderful Son's name we pray. Amen.